Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everyone. Time now to make that trip to Brewers Outlet. Like, I think it'll get a little rain this weekend. All right. You got a lot going on. Penn State Iowa wrestling coming up tomorrow night. Start of the big bowl season. I mean, Eastern Washington's playing in the red turf tonight. Kev?
Red turf? Love the red turf.
Yeah. Four bowl games tomorrow. NFL. Right? Everybody will be watching the Steelers except for one guy. Who's that guy? All right. Eagles and Bears Sunday night. Come on. It's right before Christmas. You got to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Stopped by there a couple of days ago, Steve. Lots of great gift packs available, too.
Gift packs, snacks, beverages, great selection of beers, and also the fresh, hot, roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. All that and more. Yeah. So that's all coming up. That Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street and Sunbury Beverage Supermarket. I'm here in the Chateau, Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I think I'll probably start out with Tony DeFazio the same way I started out with Neil Coulon from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Kev. I'm going to ask him whether this stretch run feels real or if there's some fool's gold in it.
Now, I told you before, I'm not excited about what I'm seeing right now. I mean, it's nice to see them winning, but I don't have a lot of confidence that it's consistent. And again, I'm not really sure that this is the offense that best fits the personnel that the Steelers have.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we'll see. I'm not sure. I think they have a lot of decisions to make about this club in the offseason. And I think most of the decisions, I think, actually are on defense and not on offense.
Well,
I know you've talked about that. I think there are more decisions on defense, I think.
Yeah, and that's what I was just about to say. I think the biggest concern for a lot of Steeler fans take pride in the defense in Pittsburgh, and there hasn't been much over the last couple of years. There have been a little, but not a lot.
Well, they've had great, like, take a year ago. They were the number one statistical defense in the league. But they're not a game-changing defense.
Right.
They don't get fumble recoveries. They get interceptions. I mean, the takeaway part of it, that's the part that really bothers you when you watch the Steelers. They don't turn the game around. Yeah, they'll get their three and outs, which are pluses, but they don't change field position. They don't shorten the field. They don't give the offense a better chance because suddenly the ball's on their 40-yard line going in. I mean, that's what they need. They need to find, and it's hard, it's hard to find, but they need to find more playmakers over there.
Well,
I mean, really, the guy that's been a playmaker has returned to being a playmaker is Troy Polamalu, and I think they've got a major, major decision to make on him as to whether or not you keep him. And he's played well enough this year with, like, I think you'd love to keep him.
Well, we were talking a little bit about the offense, and here's why I feel the offense is not sustainable, and it's not what this team should be built around or was built around, personnel wise. When you look, the Steelers had success the other night when they went no huddle. Is Ben Roethlisberger a no huddle quarterback? Is this a no huddle team? I don't think so.
Well, see,
I think it's a novelty.
But here's something that people rarely talk about, and we'll talk about it here, okay? And that is, you play your offense based on what your defense is, and you play your defense based on what your offense is. So, do you want to go no huddle with a defense that's not a game-changing defense? Do you want to risk going three plays and suddenly being out and doing so in 48 seconds?
Well, I think the other thing is you have to have strike capability, first strike capability if you're an offense. The Eagles, I think, have some capabilities to be a high-powered offense, so you can run that sort of thing with a defense, and I'm not saying the Eagles' defense is bad, but you can run it with a defense that isn't as good because you know you're going to be able to get some points on the board and outscore somebody else. The Steelers, I don't think you have that.
Yeah. We've seen more of it down the stretch. I think Antonio Brown's played very well down the stretch. I think Emmanuel Sanders has been a little bit better down the stretch. Eagles, conversely, they have DeSean Jackson. They have Shady McCoy. Foles, to his credit, has done a nice job with this whole thing. Selleck's been good at tight end. And they've done, you know, and Riley Cooper, for all the problems in the preseason, has actually played pretty well for them. And remember, they don't have Macklin. Imagine what the Eagles' offense would be like if they had Macklin, the balance they could have on each side. I mean, the balance they could have on each side. So we'll see about that. Now, big weekend coming up. That includes Nittany Lion basketball. Johnny Johnson's going to be returning to the lineup. Time now for Inside Penn State Athletics with head coach Patrick Chambers, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2005 Chevrolet Colorado, inspected with all stickers, just $12,494. A Carfax certified 2012 Ford Focus SE with low miles, just $13,962. HHR LT, new set of tires, $15,498. 2011 Toyota RAV4 Limited, $19,492. Diesel power for your big jobs. A 2011 Ford Super Duty F-350 with only 10,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $34,595. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
What the heck is that?
That's a little up-tempo Christmas music for you.
What is it, Silent Night up-tempo? What is it?
It might be. It might just be.
Okay. I took one more look at the play of your guy the other
day.
Okay. Now, number one, I am in complete agreement with you about the defenseless part. There needs to be some protection at some point, but at some point, there's common sense that they're allowed to make plays, which means they're also blockable.
Right. Correct. At some point, it has to, the defenseless part has to go away if they're going to make a tackle.
That you are wrong on.
All right. What part is that?
If you watch the play, you say, you know, you've maintained the entire time you need to pay attention. You're on the football field. You need to pay attention. If you watch the play, he's tracking Brown, and he's starting to make a move to make an attempt at a tackle on him, and that's when he gets blocked. So he was paying attention to where the ball was. Right? So yeah, that okay. part you're wrong. That part you're wrong about.
Well, when you look at the photo, and just the still photo that I look, his head is not even turned in the direction of anybody blocking him, and contact is already being made. So right. I did make an assumption on that.
Right, but you know what he's looking at?
Well, he's looking at the ball carrier.
Yeah, he's looking at Antonio Brown, and that's why he's like, okay, there he is, and I'm going to go get him. Or at least he's going to try to. That's it. That's the only addendum on that. Because I didn't deliberately go back and look at it again. It was back because of the fine, the $25,000 fine. It was shown again on TV today. And I was like, holy cow, he actually is in the right spot, believe it or not. He doesn't see it.
Yeah, the explanation was more of an issue than anything else. The explanation was wrong. The fact that there was a fine led with the helmet. You know, if he wouldn't have.
That's correct.
Here's my question to you, and we didn't really touch on this, and I know we've been talking about this for a couple of days, but let's say that he didn't lead with a helmet, but there was still an injury involved. Would we still be having the same conversation? Would the NFL still consider a fine based on this defenseless player mentality?
I would doubt it.
I would think not. I would hope not.
I doubt it because
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it was a... Now, Ed Hockley and his group got slapped for it, you know, by the league. So it's not like they didn't get the officials... They weren't happy with how they officiated the play either. Neither here nor there.
I got a college football question, though, for you.
Can't wait.
In 2015, and I find this very intriguing, and I'm sure you won't, you know, worry about it one bit. It won't bother you a bit. But I find it very intriguing. In 2015, Notre Dame is going to play Boston College at Fenway Park.
Well, no. That's the first time they will have played a football game at Fenway Park since 1968.
That's what I was going to ask you. When was the last time they played football at Fenway Park, and how is the layout?
The layout at Fenway Park, when the Patriots played five seasons in Fenway Park, and what they did was is they set up bleachers. The field went from past home plate to the right field wall. So it's 380 feet from home plate to the right field wall. It's 380 feet. Football field, when you put the end zones in, is 360 feet. So you can put the field and even kind of kick it back behind home plate just a bit, okay? And you have plenty of room to put a football field in there. And then they set up bleachers that are along the left field wall on the actual grass.
Believe it or not, I did find a picture of the field set up for football. Basically,
am I right about that?
It looks to me, and I'll post this in a few minutes on stevejonesshow.com so everybody can take a look at it, but it looks to me like the end zone is along the third base line.
Yeah.
So from third base to home plate and then out that way. And as you
out
said,
to the right field wall.
Correct. Yeah. And as you said, left field, and the monster is covered up by temporary stands.
Yeah, you can't do it that way because it's only 310 feet from home plate to the wall and left. Okay? That's all it is. So you can't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how the wall is the thing that confused me. I'm like, well, they'd lose a ton of seats because of the wall by itself.
Well, you'll be able to put people up. There were, of course, back when the Patriots played in 63 through 68 in there, there weren't any seats on top of the wall to begin with. So it was a screen. And then they had temporary bleachers on the field. You'll be able to have temporary bleachers on the field that run the length of the field, okay, in front of the left field wall and the scoreboard, plus the monster seats on top now that'll be available to be sold, which will be a great seat to watch the game. I mean, that'll be a great seat to watch that game. So that's how I remembered them setting it up. So I'm glad to hear that haven't completely lost it.
Well, the question is, will they set it up that way again? And quite frankly, I don't know any other way they could.
They can't. There's no other way you can set it up in there because the fact that wall is 310 feet. So you can't go that direction. Can you bring it out from home plate out, you know, where it's, you can't do that either, because I don't think the width of the field keeps them as to how close to the screen you can be. Plus, if you go in the old configuration, third base line out toward the 380 mark in right field, that puts more people on the sidelines.
Here's what I did. I just posted it on Steve Jones Show on Facebook. So if you'd like to see the photo, go to Steve Jones Show on Facebook and you'll be able to see it. And by the way, we do have a winner for the Penn State basketball tickets. We'll tell you about that after the news, Steve.
Sounds great. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Boy, it's a great weekend to stock up, man. You have the holidays coming up. I mean, you should go in there and you should just let loose and buy everything you need for the next 5-6 days. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Boy, it's a great time to buy a car. It really is. Great time to buy a car. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy, how are you? Happy holidays.
Are you getting ready for what, the Shreveport Bowl or the Peach Bowl? Or
sure, why not? Wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be pretty warm here this weekend. I'm not sure I'd want to make the trip.
62 degrees for a high coming up on Sunday. And then we go back down.
And then reality checks in.
Yeah, we're going to take like almost a 30-degree drop. That's a big number. It's a big number. Hoping to get ourselves out to Seattle, talk to Brian Tripp today, and also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. That is what we're working on for today. Right now, we're working on talking with you. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. Something that Kevin and I talked about in the open. This is something that isn't talked about that much. You play your defense based on how you play your offense, and you play your offense based on your defense. What does that mean? If I do not have a productive offense, if I'm not a high-powered offense, I struggle to move the ball, I struggle to get points. You take fewer chances on defense because of that. That's why when people say, wow, they should blitz more, they should do this, do that. No, sometimes you take fewer chances because you're worried that if you give up a big play, you don't have enough offense to make up for it. So you are a little more conservative sometimes on defense because of that. Now, if you have a wide-open, flamboyant offense, you could be a little more wide-open and flamboyant on defense because you think you can make up for it and take a few more chances because you can. If you happen to be an offense who has a leaky defense, you probably try to control the ball a bit more. Eat some time up. Keep them off the field. See what I mean? So you play your offense based on your defense. You play your defense based on your offense. That goes back to the comment I was talking about. And a lot of people don't really... That's something a lot of people don't talk about. But it's also very important as to how coaches think. Did you quit?
No, I'm listening intently. And I... Well, listen, one of the things...
You fell asleep in the break room again, didn't you? you fell asleep with a candy cane in your mouth in the break room, didn't you?
Starburst flavor, might I?
Starburst flavor. Good. I like that. But, I mean, that's something a lot of people don't talk about as to the style of defense. I think people assume, oh, hey, blitz, go after him, do this. And I don't have enough offense to do that.
Well, here's a great example. The Eagles can take some chances on defense, I think, because their offense can get that quick strike. They can get the points back. They have a high-powered, high-intense offense, so they can play shootout games if they have to. On the other side of the state, Pittsburgh doesn't have that. So if you have to play no huddle, and that's the way you have to play to get your offense moving, it puts your defense in a really tough spot.
Well, it does, except I think it's okay to go no huddle once in a while just to change the pace of the game. I think that's a smart move, to change the pace, to get somebody off balance just a bit. I think it's okay once in a while to do that, once a half, once a quarter, to do that instead of making it your base offense the entire time. Take Denver, for example, and before that, Indianapolis with Peyton Manning. They went no huddle, but, Kevin, they would consistently run the play clock down under five.
That's what I was going to say. Denver, especially, when they run no huddle, they run the play clock down to at least into single numbers before they snap the ball. And, you know, last year, Pittsburgh's offense did the same thing. They were running a no-huddle style a lot of times, but still were, you know, Ben's calling out blocking schemes at the line and changing things up at the line or calling the play at the line the way Peyton Manning did. And they were moderately successful with it. This year, they're not successful with anything, I don't think, unless they're running a hurry-up.
It's just that's the way it seems.
I think the last month, you know what? I think you got to take a look at the last month, Kevin, and realize that the Steelers have done some decent things offensively. Now that, look, the offensive line is not that great. Injuries, I mean, no Pouncey is a huge loss. I think DeCastro's coming out is not going to be bad. Gilbert's a liability. Adams is a liability. I mean, they barely had Levi Brown for warm-ups. So, I think Bell's season, I think, is even more remarkable by the fact that he has not had a great offensive line in front of him.
He's done an awful lot himself.
Yeah, well, Roethlisberger, though, has done pretty well with all of this in the last month. And I think he's adapted pretty well to what Todd Haley's doing. And I think maybe Haley, because it is a change, sometimes you do need your quarterback to play based on your defense a little different style. The Steelers do not have a game-changing defense. Now let's take Philadelphia. No, I think Philadelphia is able to do some of the things that they do this year, the Eagles, because their defense is better than they were. They get into some shootouts here and there, but I think they're able to play some of the things that they're doing offensively the way that because their defense is actually a little bit better than it was. That may not have showed against Minnesota. That was the third string running back. They've got the Bears, of course, coming up this week.
On Sunday night.
Yeah, flex game. They flex that game to Sunday night, which is a great move, I thought.
Let's go down a little further south. I know there's a lot of Redskins fans in the area wondering what in the world is wrong with this football team. We don't often talk about them here, but I want to give them an opportunity to get a little question here to at you. And I hear what I hear from Redskins fans is this: what's the difference between this year and last year?
Well, for one thing, it's the fact that last year RG3 made up for a multitude of mistakes with his ability to run the football. And also at the same time, because of how he ran the football on offense, it then opened up life for Morris because they could run the read option, and defensive coordinators weren't used to defending the read option. So that made Morris a better player. It also made the wideouts more productive because he was such a threat to run. He held linebackers and also held up DBs maybe a half step, maybe a step, because they weren't sure if he was going to take off. With that threat eliminated, that made the Redskin offense a far more pedestrian look. Morris on straight ahead stuff, no threat of running the option. He goes back to pass, it's all that just dink and dunk stuff, nothing down the field, and there was no threat that he was going to take off, so you could play the Redskins far more honest when it came, you know, it came time to play. Redskins also had more three and outs, meant the defense was on the field longer this year. So it's just a multitude of things, which starts with his lack of mobility. And I'm not surprised by his lack of mobility because he is still 11 and a half months removed from a torn ACL. Now, I would expect him next year to have his mobility completely back, because normally the second year back from an injury is when you are 100%, and in some ways that joint, that area is stronger because of all the rehab work you've had to do on it. He had no OTAs. He had no preseason. And at the same time, I think because of the issues he's had with the knee and the lack of mobility, and he can't play the game the way he normally plays the game, I think that's also affected him of being one of the leaders on this team, because in his second year, you look at Andrew Luck out in Indianapolis. You look at Russell Wilson at Seattle. Even Ryan Tannehill down at Miami. Those three guys have not only been huge contributors in their second year, but they've also become leaders on their football team in the second year. And RG3 should have been that guy this year for Washington despite the injury, but also at the same time, they do too many press conferences with him. And they need to rein that in a little bit as well, as an organization. And defensively, they had much more pressure on them this year. They were on the field longer.
I would think offensively, with Cousins at quarterback, they really had to change a lot of their offensive style. I mean, that's going to be the difficult thing with having a quarterback like RG3 or like Wilson in Seattle, and then going to a backup who doesn't have necessarily the mobility skills, you have to change a lot of your offense.
I'll disagree with you on that one. And the reason I'll disagree with you on that is that because of the injury and the reluctance and how reluctant they've been to move him, what's the difference in what you're playing?
But last year it would have been a different scenario. I mean,
yet he stepped in last year. Cousins didn't play really well.
Right.
You know, you got to remember that last year they played with a lot of confidence. Okay, the last 5 to 6 weeks of this season they have played with no confidence, zero, zip, zilch. Last year, remember, I'm a big believer in success breeding success, misery breeds misery. Okay.
Sorry, I just had a flashback to The Natural.
Oh, I didn't. You'll be talking about when he walks out.
Yes, losing is a disease.
Yeah, well, that's a psychobabble mumbo jumbo that I can't stomach, and I would have walked out too. But I am a big believer that success breeds success. You get some success, you feel better, and now as a group and as a team, you start to feel like you get into situations and you really believe you're going to make a play. And the more you do it, the more you think you're never out of it. Misery is you do get to the point and your shoulders go down. And you say, oh boy, here we go again. And when you get to the, uh-oh, here we go again stage, you're in trouble and you're going to run off a series of losses. And that makes a big difference. And I think that's where the Redskins got. The Redskins got to a point where last year, success was breeding success. They felt good. The stadium was alive, electric. It was a boost for them as to what they did. Stayed away from major injuries during the course of the year, except for RG3 getting bumped up at one point. Cousins had to fill in. Then RG3 came back. Then, of course, then the Seattle debacle happened. And the bottom line is they lost to Seattle because Seattle's just a flat-out better team, and we're seeing that especially this year. This year, after that success, that feel, no matter what, we're going to make a play, we're going to go back, and the entire team has that mindset. This year, it's the first thing that goes wrong. You feel like you're headed toward the cliff. Like you have to be perfect, 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 perfect. Oh, no, and cliff. It's a big difference. And I think that's what's happened to the Redskins. They need to shore up their offensive line. They need to be better there. A game breaker at wide out, they need. I think that they've used so many different running backs, they need to get one that gets into a rhythm and a groove. At one point I saw them put in, Halu was out there, then they brought in Morris, and they put Royster at fullback. So it is a team that was a last-place team 2 seasons ago, a first-place team last season, and a last-place team this season. So what are they closer to, first or last? Well, they had a quarterback that changed the dynamics of how you play the game. Now that he is in the same role and mode as Ryan Tannehill and Andrew Luck, that means he has to be better at reading defenses. That means he has to be better at getting a feel for the game. And his feel for the game, if he can't run, is a problem, and it has a domino effect on the entire football team. Time to take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury. We've hit the holiday weekend. Well, I'll tell you, the next couple of weekends, 5 days each time, gonna love it. And that means you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet. Beverages, fresh, hot roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. You are a big pickle bar fan.
I am a big pickle bar fan.
Yes, you are.
The peanuts do not roast on an open fire, though. They are roasting in a roaster, just so you know.
Yeah, but they are hot, baby. They are hot. Love it. And snacks, what a wide range of snacks. And beverages. And just a fabulous selection of beer. You're going to have guests over, or you're going to be going someplace where it'd be great to bring something with you that makes a statement of friendship and class. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And it's the holiday season, and I know at Sunbury Motors, they are moving vehicles during this holiday season. They have some great deals. Put a bow on something in the driveway on Wednesday. Or Tuesday if you want to go to the Christmas Eve route. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Man, I'm steamrolling.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. All right. Congratulations, Marie Singer Herndon, our ticket winner to see Penn State play Mount St. Mary's Sunday. We also have another pair of tickets for the game on the 31st, the Big Ten opener with Michigan State. Just like SJS on Facebook and share our ticket giveaway photo. Yeah, that easy. You're a big fantasy football player. 95% of fantasy football fans are like you.
Okay.
And then there's 5% like this, if okay. that. Ever get a death threat over a bad day at the office? Thanks to Twitter, it happens to NFL players on a regular basis. But it's not just their play in the field that makes fans fly over the edge. It is overwhelming because of fantasy football. Some tweets go beyond wishing harm to players to actually threatening violence. The following tweet targeted superstar wideout Calvin Johnson and quarterback Matthew Stafford. I lost my fantasy playoff game by 4 darn points. I changed the word. That's 4 bullets for each of you.
See, that's I've heard of that happening before, and okay. That's just disturbing.
Back in October, Giants running back Brandon Jacobs received several menacing messages on Twitter, and the content concerned him enough to call the NFL security. Jacobs exposed the fan for terrible remarks that included, "On life, Brandon, if you don't rush for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns tonight, it's over for you and your family." That was one of several he received like that. Tweets to Calvin Johnson. Let's see. No, actually, this is to other players, to unknown players. Let's see. "So you enjoy making people miserable? I hope you lose your leg in a car accident. To Calvin Johnson, you dropped 3 passes that were in your hands. You should die if you can't catch, and you're a receiver." Now, 2%, maybe 3% are over the top on fantasy football. 97% take it for the fun that it is. Allen Robinson, Justin asked. Look, Allen Robinson has until, I think, a week after the national championship game to decide. If he stayed at Penn State, if he did stay at Penn State, I would not be surprised. Okay, I hope that answers your question, Justin.